Hey everybody, this is Jeff from Crafted For You, or Brew Shaman, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you don't even know who you are
anymore. Yeah, I know. I have a conflict.
Yeah, know your identity, Jeff. I know who I am. I'm Alyssa.
Who is our, as we discussed yesterday, our third co-host and executive producer.
Yeah, that part sticks.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that up.
So, we just had dinner with a couple close friends of ours, the Millers,
who you Hello. May remember.
Here we are.
And we had some delicious fajitas, which were phenomenal.
Slow-cooked fajitas. Thanks, Pinterest.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Oh, thank you, guys. That was really nice. And now we're winding down with a long-anticipated beer.
Yeah, so, well, we went to Haw River probably
January.
3 months ago. What do you need?
The bottle.
Oh, the bottle. Yeah, we went a couple months ago. We both bought a bottle of Haw River's Bifurcation Project. And this one in particular is oak-aged, and it's a Saison with Breton peaches. It's
Which
really
are
hard to read. I can't see this thing.
Two things I love in my beer, Brett and peaches.
Yeah.
So this is...
So we both bought a bottle, and what we agreed upon was we were going to drink one today.
Well, right away, but right away turned into 3 months from the date, which is today.
And then we're going to open one in a couple more months.
Yeah, just so we can see how it's...
The Brett takes over.
It.
Yeah, and the comparison.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think? Was it worth the wait?
I think it was.
I think it's super peachy.
Yeah.
Like Jordan said... Still a lot of black character.
It's like peach iced tea peachy.
Yes. It's that subtle in the
and
background.
And a really fresh, like, it doesn't taste like peach flavor at all. Like, it's straight up, like...
It's a lot more aroma of peach
exactly.
than there is actual taste or sweetness of the fruit itself. It's not very tart, like an underripe peach, but it's very fragrant.
Yeah.
I almost said perfumey.
Yeah.
I think it kind of reminds me of our Saison that we did with the blackberries. It's really dry, and there's not, like, the blackberries don't punch you in the face.
It's not overwhelming. It's, like,
it's
a
just
nice
a
accent
subtle,
to the Brett character. Yeah.
It's a very dry Saison. I really like it.
Haw River never disappoints, though. I don't think I've ever had something of theirs that... I had one beer of theirs that wasn't my taste.
Right.
But besides that, everything else I've had of theirs, I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I think the same thing for me. The only one I didn't like was one that was very heavy on the Simcoe hops, and that's one that I haven't quite been able to get my taste buds around at this point.
Yeah, we had the Brachlava.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that one. Yeah.
Which tasted exactly like...
Baklava. It was so good.
It was really heavy.
I love baklava. Mm. I guess I just don't like it in beer form. Yeah. It was boozier and sweeter than I like. I like my beers to be.
Yeah, it literally had to be your dessert. Like, you wouldn't even eat any dessert because it was so...
Definitely.
I liked that about it, but you have to think about it that way, not necessarily as a beer, but more as, like, your dessert.
I appreciate it for what it is. It's super different than anything I've had of theirs before.
And I made you drink the rest of it because I was driving home. Yeah. It was like 9 or 10%.
We did a flight, and it was one. So, in a way, I guess, flights are good that way, guys, because you can try a bunch of different things
definitely.
If you're not sure about it. Which is what Jeff and I did yesterday when we were in Raleigh. We went to 5 different breweries, right?
5.
We went to Raleigh Brewing, LBC, Noose River, Nickel Point, and then we ended at Mystery.
Yeah.
It was an impromptu brewery crawl.
Very impressive.
And the only one we had been to before was Raleigh Brewing. Every other brewery
was brand new,
new to us.
Thanks, Uncle Mike. We called Uncle Mike right after... Raleigh Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And we're like, where should we go? And he led us towards that area, which had all of those three breweries. So LBC, Noose, and Nickel Point.
Yeah. Which was really cool because once we got to LBC, we were speaking with the bartender. We wanted to do the flight because we'd never been there before, and she was explaining a couple of their different beers. She started talking about their Mosaic Pale Ale, and as she started talking about it, Uncle Mike called Jeff back to let us know that they had just won third place.
Linwood Brewing Company brought in first and third best of show at Hickory Hops.
Yeah, and I think the third was for the pail.
Third was for the pail, and then their Putin
Tang was their
stout. Their stout.
That also
won.
That won first.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool to be right there, and as soon as like we got the news, we were able to order a newly award winning beer. But Jordan, you were there yesterday.
I was in the flesh.
Yeah. Live and in color.
Yes. I actually got a lot more color.
You did.
Because I was wandering around. Luckily, I had sunglasses. It was bright and beautiful, as it always is in Hickory for Hickory Hops, as I've been told. So, a lot of great breweries, a lot of great beer. I didn't taste anything that I was necessarily disappointed with or put off by, so that was good. So
did you try anything new that you really enjoyed?
Well, one thing that I've really noticed is that a lot of things are new to me in North Carolina, because I work a lot and I don't get out to try a lot of these things. So festivals are really the best place for me to try all these beers.
And there's just new breweries popping up all the time. It's easy to...
Oh, absolutely. Especially... I heard a giant number as far as new breweries opening in Charlotte and new breweries in planning. There's something like 40 breweries in planning.
Wow.
We're up to like, what, 161 right now? I think that's
mid,
the last
mid-hundreds, yeah, mid-100s. So there's tons in planning. Actually, the night before, I tried a Flanders made by soon-to-open 1789... Brewing, which I saw some guy with that, and I'd never seen it before, and then he came out with the Flanders.
Mm-hmm.
They are not in production yet, but it was great. They have one wine barrel.
Really?
That's what I was told. They have one wine barrel, and this came from that.
Wow.
So they took 2 years just to do one beer, and that's all they're doing?
No, I assume that they are also doing... other non-sour beers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this was the first time I've heard of them. So, we'll see what they come up with. But if their Flanders is any indication, then I look forward to it.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
We were really impressed, well, by all the breweries we went to yesterday, but also we got an impromptu tour of
Nickel Point,
which was really cool.
We kept screwing up the name yesterday.
Nickel Creek.
I almost said Nickelback this morning.
Oh, no.
I was like, wait,
Nickel
no, that's
Creek
not right.
Nickel Creek is at least a little better than that. So we apologize to our new friends if you're listening. But Nickel Point.
Got it right now.
Yeah, we know it now. Here it is.
We were slightly disappointed because we did not get to try their Vienna Lager. Was it a Vienna Lager?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were out of it. But... right after our tour and after we enjoyed their blonde, which was really good. Their IPA we also sampled and liked.
That was on point.
But as most of you know, we usually go for IPAs, so we were trying to branch out a little bit. This was a particularly delicious blonde. We went to a nearby bottle shop where they recommended us looking for the Vienna Lager, and they had it. So we picked up two cans. Haven't tried it yet, but we're saving it. We'll let you guys know how we like it when we do.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. They just can't keep it in the brewery.
They only have three fermenters and one bright, so it kind of holds things up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nickel Point, Vienna Lager. Go to your local bottle shop and pick up a can.
They're not in Greensboro. I think they're in the Raleigh area only. So like Wake Forest and stuff like that. Carrie.
But they're starting to expand outwards, they said.
They
right?
just was it Mutual?
Yeah. I believe that's the
Maybe
distributor.
It was Mutual that they just signed with like that week or very, very, very recently.
Which they're very excited, as they should be.
So hopefully they get more tanks now.
Yeah, I know,
That's what we talked to, I think his name was Frank, the head brewer.
Yeah.
How much room do they have to expand?
They can put a couple more tanks in there. They have a lot of room in the. They have a mobile canning line that comes in.
Nice.
So they don't have to worry about any of that.
Nice.
Right.
But yeah, they have a ton of room.
They're in a really nice area. They have a nice, like, little outdoor space. They had a food truck there. And they're just, like, two doors down from New Shriver, which we went to first. And we had a Saison there, which was good, but it was also 9%. So,
but it did not drink like a 9% Saison.
Which made it much more dangerous. But it was really, really delicious.
As I'm walking around with our dog in my arms right now, because
she's like a colicky baby. She just...
Jesus Christ.
She has to protect us all.
I just cleaned that window.
All right, so we also have Deep River's team beer tender, Hopped on Pills. That's their hoppy pilsner that the Millers brought as well. I have to finish
the
rest of my beer.
It's not going to be as smooth of a transition as I thought we were going to do.
No.
For those of you listening, our dog barked for a good 5 more minutes. We didn't think you needed to hear any of that. But, so, that's the cause. And we don't often cut and edit, but
my
dog's going to be a dog.
Very rare. She's usually pretty well behaved. So if it sounds a little funky...
We apologize, but I don't, I like,
is good.
I don't want to finish my peach. Everyone's
I know,
going.
It's
no,
so good.
You don't have to finish it right away. Yeah.
It's so good.
I know,
this
it's
is
good.
Like,
it's easy to drink fast because it's just such a pleasant flavor.
Yeah.
But when you do go a little slower, you notice the other hints of things in it. And
I'm
like
excited
the more,
to put the, go ahead.
Oh, I was going
to
say, like, the underlying Saison character to it. Like, you get a lot of peach, but then, I'm sipping it. It is very much a Saison as well. I just want to, like, be in, like, on a beach or something, like, sipping this.
Yes.
It's so fruity.
Yeah.
Some
it's really
beach
nice.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Which is not something I say often. I'm not a beach goer.
We're not beach people.
But we're going to have to. We were told by our new friends at Nickel Point to go to visit...
Front Street in Wilmington.
In Wilmington. They said there's a lot of really great breweries opening up on that side of the state.
And one of the best lady brewers works for Front Street.
Mm.
I can't remember
her
name. He said it.
He said it
remember.
In passing, yeah.
I have friended her on Facebook, but I do not remember her name.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
The Millers are
well
beach,
connected,
beach-going people. So you can just come with us. We'll show you what's to love about the beautiful.
Also, look forward to another brewery that should be opening in the next year, hopefully. Bob High.
Oh shit! Really?
Going to open his own place out on the coast.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the brewery.
No,
like,
Bob High is one
peculiar.
Of the sales reps for Natty Greens.
Correct. Yes,
okay.
He is taking his leave, and he is going to open his own place
good
here in the next one
nice.
Or 2 years.
It's exciting.
So,
that's interesting that, a sales representative is pursuing a.
Oh, he's got brewing experience.
Does he?
Before,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because usually you do hear, it's brewers moving
mm-hmm.
on to open their own or something like
yep.
that, but.
Yeah.
With the and so he must be very well rounded, like it, that'll
mm-hmm.
be good for him moving forward. He'll know a lot of the different aspects.
Yeah.
Well, especially as somebody who opens their own, I don't know what size it's going to be, but he's already got the gift of gab as far as
mm-hmm.
Being a salesman goes, and that's if you have a small brewery, that's essential.
Oh, definitely.
You don't want to have to hire somebody to sell your beer out front when. You can do it yourself.
Definitely.
And he's very good at it. So, congratulations to Mr. High on your upcoming debut.
Look forward. Is there a name in the works?
I
or?
Have no idea. No, this is all very still.
All very new and set in.
Yes.
That's very cool.
But,
you know, and that's what you said about, you know, being able to talk up your own brewery. And I find whenever, you know, we go in, you can, like, very quickly pick out if the owner or management is there drinking because, like, you walk up to the bar, you start asking questions, and they're there being like, yeah, and they start telling you, like, the history of the beer, or, like, a funny little story, and it's nice. It gives it a much more, like, pleasant and homey feel where...
When it comes to that, I always think of Ben at Haw River. Full circle.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
They're really great there. They're always happy to explain anything to you. I'm probably the most beer novice at this table currently, but he's always really willing to talk through things, even with someone who doesn't really know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, and it's not that you don't know. It's, I mean, there's, it's different, like, I guess, levels of knowledge. I mean, the only reason I know so much is... Literally, Jeff won't stop talking about it. And one day, I was like, I bet he's going to get tired having a one-sided conversation the rest of his life, so I might as well
figure it out.
She can keep up half the time now.
It's almost learning by osmosis. If one person has a lot more of a knowledge bank than the other person, it information
pulls.
Will flow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but that also goes to the patience and also the knowledge to be able to sit and talk to your customers and, explain it at a level that everybody will understand and make it appealing because you can sit in on a conversation and it can seem very overwhelming and be like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You can just pour me this beer now because I've lost interest. It's
there's
easy
some people
for that.
Who just don't care.
Or
just want their beer.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
I just mean, like, sometimes you get into a conversation with someone who's so eager to make it technical to someone who's not technical speaking about beer.
That usually happens with bartenders. Like, you'll have somebody like Jordan and myself come in and be, like, asking about the beer they were drinking. Like, oh, what hops did you use? What yeast did you use? What did you ferment at? And we're just like, I don't know.
You're flipping it the other way. I'm saying if you get a bartender that is
definitely.
Like the brewer or the owner and they're... So Jordan, be careful when you start bartending.
At Joymonger's.
Jordan's going to know everything.
You're going to know everything.
But,
dumb it down for us.
But the worst of all of these options is a bartender who is incompletely educated.
Oh, definitely.
Who thinks they know enough. And we'll give you wrong information.
Oh, completely.
So.
Which is one of the reasons why I think Joymongers is going to be so successful. Because, you know, I love the idea of the person serving me my beer is the person who made my beer.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you can, from anyone to if I were to ask a question or if Jeff were to ask the question, you can answer it on any level and give us what we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be really cool.
And if by some strange... If you come in there and you know more than I do, and you ask me a question that I can answer, or that I cannot answer, then I'll admit it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
That's the best part.
So for when Todd comes in to visit you.
Yeah.
He will grill you so hard.
I will act so dumb. Or I'll just give him wrong information.
And then he's going to grade you, and you're going to feel terrible.
That's all right. That's all right.
But, like, we're not in school, Todd.
I'm sorry I haven't yet made it to Liberty, Todd.
We haven't made
it. You haven't been to Liberty yet?
I have never been to Liberty.
I took a test there.
Steakhouse and brewery.
He did.
And I got a beer.
But congratulations, Todd, on your
he won
12
like,
medals.
At least.
Man.
He won, like, 4 golds, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, the running joke, as we all know, is it's because he submits so many. But he makes a lot of beers.
He does make a lot of beers.
So, and all of them that I have ever tried are good, so.
Yeah, I've never tasted anything bad.
A shout-out to Happy Hour in Karachi, which was, it is a wit, or a white... Rather, with rose hips or rose buds. I'm going to have to confirm that. And hibiscus.
Mm. I like hibiscus in my beer. Oh, stop. I never have my phone on the one time and nobody ever calls me.
Failed.
I don't know who that is. I'm not going to pick it up.
That phone number actually looks really familiar.
Does it look like your phone number?
No, I do. I think I don't know. Anyway,
nobody cares about that. nobody cares that nobody calls me and now someone is, and we're really confused about it. But the two beers that Todd brought here that we drank on the podcast were both delicious, and you can
one got me in trouble.
You can hear how drunk we were by the end of the podcast.
Which one was that?
That was the black IPA.
Yes.
Yeah.
We ended up killing it that night.
We killed both of the growlers he brought.
Yeah.
He didn't want to bring home.
I woke up the next morning and I felt like shit.
Todd, you can drink all of us under the table. We know.
That was good. That happens to us more often than we like to admit. We finish a podcast and we're like, whoa.
Yeah. Or let's just continue drinking.
Well, you are
at home. Yeah, and it's easy for that to happen at home. That doesn't happen when we're out at breweries interviewing.
This is good.
That
is
very
good,
because we'd make fools of ourselves, and we don't want to do that.
No, we didn't even, I didn't even catch a buzz yesterday. That's because we were at 5 different breweries within 7 hours.
Yeah, that was a really long day. We got to Raleigh at noon, 12:30.
12:48.
Exactly 12:48. If we need an alibi.
For you anal people out there.
That's where we were. And we were there for a couple hours. And we moved on.
Yeah. That's when we went to LBC. It was awesome.
Yeah. And we ended up at Mystery. We were out until what? Like 9 o'clock-ish.
Which we actually ran into Anita. If you could listen to the Women in Brewing podcast.
Yes.
She is one of the cellar men. Whoa. As she likes to be called.
Yes.
We
went to pick up a 4-pack of the International Women's Day collaboration beer. I'm not sure if that's the official name. I'm not going to attempt it because it's very long and a little bit confusing. I might have missed a
word.
You might
have missed a letter.
I might have missed a letter. But we really wanted to try it, and we're very pleased. They brewed, as Anita explained on the episode she was on, it was a jasmine white tea with lemongrass and blueberries wit.
Yes. With Belgian yeast. Yes.
With Belgian yeast.
It was really good.
It was amazing.
We just actually cracked open a can
right
after dinner.
Hannah and I shared one while we enjoyed
really
dinner.
Nice.
And the color was great too.
Mm-hmm.
I always like a beer that doesn't look colored, but gets color from something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost
color
kind of like a
intriguing.
Honey color.
Yeah.
It was really pretty.
And
I didn't take any of the blueberry.
That's not typically my style of beer that I
mm-hmm.
go to. It is usually like, I feel like wits don't often taste like a lot, or they're too light of a style.
There's nothing,
for me.
There's no complexity sometimes.
Yeah,
right,
but this one was pleasantly not that way. It was, you could really taste all of the different flavors.
It had interest.
Yeah. So, hopefully, Anita, you're listening to this episode. And we really enjoyed and loved the beer. But while we were at Mystery, we each enjoyed a black Saison.
Yeah, that they put molasses, which was really good. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
But it was complex.
And then their spring Saison. And we were starving at that point, and it was really great that the barbecue place right next door will deliver food to the brewery.
Nice.
And it was delicious. And we got our food faster than people who were waiting for a table, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really good. I don't remember the name of it, of the barbecue place.
I don't remember either.
It escapes me. But it was really good. So if you're at the pub, which is the 430 address, I don't remember the name of the street, but if you're there, definitely order food from there. It's really good.
Yeah, and they had a really nice outdoor patio space, which we didn't even realize until right before we left. There were a bunch of people.
Yes.
Yeah, out in the back. They had a stage for live entertainment.
Oh, nice.
Lights all strung up, which is kind of my weakness, like a nice outdoor ambiance. Yeah, it was good.
So we have Uno beers left?
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Pilsner?
Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun. I really like this.
It's a hoppier.
Deep River.
A little bit more?
Deep River's Hoppy Pilsner. their twist on the classic American Pilsner, but with a little more hops in it.
Still a lot of sulfur, which is something that I really like in a Pilsner.
Of course, a little bit of Strup match.
It's nice. We had a good Pilsner yesterday.
We did. We had the Czech Pilsner from LBC.
Wasn't it called, like, the Czech Yourself Pilsner? All their names were really...
They were clever.
We also had, besides the Mosaic Pale that we mentioned earlier, we had the Bill and Ted's Excellent Amber.
Yeah, it was a hoppy amber. It was actually really,
which
really
was
good.
Very different. I wasn't expecting it.
It was very malty and had a good, strong hop backbone to it.
Mm. Speaking of hoppy ambers, I was recently at the Foothills the production facility, their tap room, and I think that we've all had their hoppy amber before, or their hoppy medium. That's what it is.
Hoppy medium. Yeah. It's good.
It's essentially a hoppy amber, but this was an imperial. And I did notice that it used Eureka hops.
Oh.
Really?
So, boozy and Eureka-y. Not just Eureka hops, but it was one of the hops that was used in it.
That's very interesting that now another local brewery is using them.
Absolutely.
It's a good hop.
It's a very interesting hop.
It's a very interesting hop. Did the Eureka character, kind of pull out more than... the other hops?
I think in anything that's an imperial, the hops are going to struggle to come out from behind
the booze.
Yeah. And I didn't get a distinctive Eureka character in it, but it was well balanced.
Well, that's good.
That was the first time that I've had a beer that didn't use exclusively Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to see it play well with others, so to speak.
Definitely.
So...
Yeah, I've been curious to try. Yeah.
They also had Wooden Robot, which is a brewery that I've heard very good things about.
We've heard awesome things.
They had a sour double IPA, which was not boozy and perfect level of sourness. Still had a ton of hop aroma in it, which I was very impressed with, and very easy drinking. It wasn't going to knock you on your back with the level of sourness or the bitterness or the hoppiness or anything like that. Very well balanced. So, my first Wooden Robot experience was very good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about their sours.
Do they primarily do sours? Because I've never seen...
They do a mix.
I've only ever... If I've seen them on tap somewhere or I've seen, photos of Instagram, I've only ever seen, their soured beers.
Yeah, they're a lot like Wicked Weed, so I think they're known for their sour beers, but they also do a lot of clean beers.
Okay.
But I'm curious to try them, too.
And where are they located?
They're in Charlotte.
Sure.
Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they were that
local.
Yeah,
they're, one of, 26, I think, breweries. They're up there. Maybe not 26, but there's a lot of breweries in Charlotte.
A lot of breweries, and there's a lot I've never even heard of yet.
Wow. Well, it's got to go on the list, then. I thought they were, in South Carolina for some reason.
No, they're super local. Yeah, that's the one we've talked about going to when we go.
Yeah. I also really want to check out, and the name escapes me, but there's a cidery in Charlotte as well.
Cidery? Does Lenny Boy sound familiar?
It might be that.
Lenny Boy started out with kombucha, and then they moved into beer. I don't know if they do cider. I don't know why they wouldn't do cider.
Yeah, I guess if you're doing kombucha.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up, but I'll interject. Oh, Red Clay. That was really quick for me to find. I thought it would take me longer.
Red Clay?
Red Clay Cider
Works. I'm thinking Red Brick, which is in South Carolina.
No, Red
Georgia.
Clay Cider Works. That's on my list to go and look, especially...
And that's in Charlotte?
It's in Charlotte.
That's very Charlotte. There's red clay everywhere down there. Remember?
There's red clay right outside our door.
Really?
We have very,
oh, yes.
Scary...
If you're in North Carolina, you're probably going to have red clay.
Well, I remember when I first moved in, it had rained, and I came in through the front door, which is, a covered little breezeway, and I look down and it's bare feet, like dry red, like footprints, and it looks like blood, like the way like faded, and it's like, and they're still out there because it's covered, and I came in and I was like, what happens here? Is this more dangerous than I thought?
Somebody else said the same thing when we had a party. Someone was like, is somebody bleeding outside?
Yeah. But, so yeah. So now I'll never forget the name of this cidery because of this conversation. I'm going to think of murdery footsteps outside of our door.
You're just going to get this eerie feeling when you walk in the door, so the cider will be like, oh.
It's like a horror movie in here, and it's going to be like bright and cheery, and I'm going to be like cringing, and everyone's going to think I'm a weirdo. But.
Woo!
Ooh.
Nice. So we just popped open Boulevard's Imperial Stout, which is their tart cherry stout from last year, 2015.
And you bet. Since it's a Sunday night, it's the last beer we drink. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's like at least 10%. I can't say.
If it's an Imperial, it's less than 10%. 11%.
11%.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one we've enjoyed with Carly before.
Oh, I have had this.
I don't think we had it on air, but we did enjoy this one.
At Carly's when we went over.
No, she brought it here.
Oh, okay.
First time she was on the podcast, she brought this one.
Oh, that was another night. We just kept drinking.
Oh, yes. Those usually happen with Carly.
Yeah.
She's like,
it smells good.
Hey, let's go into the cellar and get more beers out.
Her cellar is impressive.
It's very good. Yeah. It's a lot better than ours.
All right. Hannah. What do you think?
There's a lot of cherry just even on the nose.
Yeah, it does definitely have that really fruity smell.
It's like almost, I want to say, like Robitussin kind of cherry.
Yeah, but it surprises me that it would, because generally I'm just getting to the point where I'll really enjoy a stout.
I'm not there yet.
And like the one that's been my favorite so far has been the vanilla bean stout at, at
Breckenridge
Prior.
Oh.
Which, and it is like a dark beer, and I'm usually like IPAs all the way. I don't want anything too sweet. I don't want anything too dark. I just feel like they just taste very, I'm not a big smoky flavor person, even on my barbecue sauce or anything. So to find porters and stouts that I really can enjoy and like look forward to getting when I go somewhere, it's not just my fallback if they don't have an IPA I enjoy.
We're gonna have to go and try this one.
Yeah, we'll have to go pester Calder.
Yeah. Hey,
Calder.
They didn't have it last time we went in for trivia on a Tuesday night.
Okay.
They didn't have it. I was really disappointed, but
we recently had a porter that I enjoyed. Maybe it was on the crossover episode.
We had
the AMB.
The AMB porter, which was really good.
Yeah.
We had that. Man, it escapes me the name of that.
Hardywood?
Hardywood.
They had their
ginger. Oh my
God. Imperial gingerbread stout.
What?
It tasted like Christmas in a cup.
That
like,
sounds amazing.
But it was also really boozy.
It was like 11%-ish.
Yeah. But I think my go-to, and it's probably a lot of people's go-to, is the donut skillet stout from the Burial. That's probably been like one of the only stouts that I would like look forward to drinking again.
Yeah,
I have
we
to
kinda,
try that one.
We kind of, you were kind of shocked by that one when we had that.
We had that on the podcast.
We did.
I think. And I was like, oh.
Oh, I like this. Can I have more?
I'll drink that.
Yeah, we're not big stouts fans. Stouts fans. Stout fans.
It's like it's a sports team.
Yeah, the stouts.
Stouts.
We usually typically go IPAs. We like a lot of lighter beers too, though, because we like to do pilsners.
We found that when we were doing our flights at Raleigh and LBC, there are one at Raleigh, and I posted a photo on my personal Instagram. It was just the
all
same
lights.
Colored beer throughout, which was funny, but they were all very different and delicious. They're Berliner Weiss.
Oh, the Berliner Weiss was really good. It was really,
really
tart
good.
And
yeah,
just smooth.
So, but slowly we're finding. I guess it's a coffee stout.
It's yeah. If there's coffee in it, more than likely we'll drink it.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think of another one that we had recently that we really liked. And it escapes me. But
yeah,
there was one we had recently.
Yeah, it was a French toast stout or porter. We were at Gate City Growlers. And it was someone's tap takeover. Their wheel is in the brewery name. What is it?
Is it
a
wheel?
Or...
I hate that I can't think of it, because it was another really good one. I think the key for me, and one of the reasons I like the vanilla bean at Pryor, is that it has those kind of soothing notes. Like, vanilla is a very soothing flavor, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't sweet. So it doesn't, it's not rich and sweet, it's just rich and kind of
full.
It kind
of just rounds off
yeah,
the
exactly.
bitterness that you might get from
and that's
the...
a lot of how this French toast one was, that I wish I'll have to figure out what the brewery is, but it had a lot of maple notes to it. It wasn't too sweet, but it had that maple that kind of rounded out the bitterness of it really, really nicely.
Mm. And I think it had fenugreek in it as well.
Yeah.
Fenugreek is an
That's
herb that, well, it tastes like maple. So anytime you want to flavor something like maple, fenugreek seeds or leaves are a good option. And it's really strange, almost. In fact, they use fenugreek to make maple extract sometimes.
That's a good way to get around that, so you're not adding more sugar to your beer.
Absolutely.
It goes warm, and then you have bombs.
Well, not only
fermenting.
Not only that, but if you add that much more sugar just for flavor, you also run the risk of scrubbing that flavor and those aromas off during that secondary fermentation.
Sure.
So you'll pop open the bottle, and then that's where all your maple goes, just right off the top. So, fenugreek, remember.
It's good to know.
Also referred to in Indian stores as methi.
M-E-T-H-I,
not to be confused with meth.
Because you could just buy meth in any kind of
oh,
Indian
yeah.
store, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. I hear that.
To just have it right at the front counter.
Huh.
Don't buy
yes.
meth.
Ask
We're
for
not
meth. Ask for meth by name.
Oh my God. Stick to one vice, craft beer.
Yes.
Don't
like,
get into the harder stuff.
I feel like the Millers are going to have an offshoot podcast where we just have like
little jingles.
Impromptu jingle creation.
And we
brand.
Just, like, stick you guys into, like, the weird lulls of the other podcasts on
you
the
You have
network.
Just little, like, one-off little stories, those little quips.
And we come in and go out just being like, da 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 da.
I feel like I'm going to need to, like, actually, like, video it, because I want you in, like, a top hat, a cane, and, like, top shoes. Obviously,
this brought to you by the Ketchup Advisory Board.
And then if it's like a really bad joke, like a giant like hook comes out and like pulls
and
him across
like,
stage.
We're just talking about the Gong Show at this point.
We're glad yeah. we're glad to indulge. Oh my gosh.
Well, back to beer.
Yes.
I guess.
All right.
But yeah, this one's pretty good. It's very boozy.
It is very boozy. But going back to enjoying vanilla beans in your beer, I'm really excited for our vanilla bourbon brown that we have fermenting at
oh
the moment. So we're going
to
take...
Which is sitting right next to you.
We're looking at it right now.
I think it's pretty much done.
Yeah, but we're going to...
We have to crash it for a couple days.
So is the vanilla already in there?
No, we haven't done any yet.
We're going to add it at kegging. We're going to soak them in bourbon.
Do a tincture.
Mm. Soak the vanilla beans in bourbon.
Yes.
Yeah.
That being said, so you're going to soak the vanilla beans in bourbon, take the vanilla beans out, and throw them in there.
Correct.
Okay. Caution. When you soak the vanilla beans in anything, it will pull vanilla out. So the bourbon that you soak it in will be very, very vanilla-y, and the vanilla bean will be less vanilla-y and more bourbon-y. So, for example, if you get...
Such legit terms.
No, well, I mean...
Add a lie on
it's the bourbon that's pulled the vanilla that's being put into
okay.
the keg.
Okay, yeah, excellent.
Yeah,
And
then maybe we'll save our bourbon vanilla beans for a different experiment.
Oh, yeah,
or something
that, would be,
else.
That would be great.
Oh, we can bag them up and throw them in the fridge or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because actually, one thing if you want to do, if you want to make your own vanilla extract, you just get vanilla beans and good vodka.
Yeah.
Or neutral spirit, and then you just throw it in just. There. So, yeah, I didn't want you guys to pull all your vanilla out.
Thank you for the word of caution. Dodged a bullet there. But yeah, we're putting the vanilla bourbon in.
Excellent.
So, and not too much. We don't want it to be overly boozy. We want it just to be a nice...
And we don't want it to be super vanilla-y.
Yeah, we just want it
Jordan's
to
terms.
The vanilla-y, bourbon-y. Just kind of being a nice,
like
underlying...
A kind of background.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
To that, so
we'll see how that goes. That's another test batch for Joe and Cecily's wedding that we're
yes, which
preparing.
We name today. We like to name all of our beers, and we have fun doing it. If you heard on our crossover episode, we did the split batch IPA. The one on the English yeast strain is the Empire, and the American yeast strain is the Rebel Scum. IPA. We decided our bourbon brown is going to be Suit Up. One, because Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother loves a good whiskey, as well as this is going to be Joe's wedding beer, which he will need to suit up for the day.
Double entendre.
Double. It kind of worked out that way. We didn't work too hard on that or anything.
It was like 10 minutes.
Yeah. As being facetious.
Nice.
We did work pretty hard on that one. Nah.
Not too bad.
Nah.
But yeah, there it's a fun thing to name your beers and see how they turn out, and we try to give nerdier, geekier names to them often. So
as you should.
As we should. Yes. Because when we don't and we give them more historical names like the Napoleon Complex for French Saison.
Damn
a year
Wicked
later,
Weed.
You find out that Wicked Weeds named their beer the
no.
Napoleon Complex. And then you're like, oh, well, I thought of that first. And then you have no way of proving it.
But then you put it on a complex, on a podcast, and then Wicked Weed heard it.
And now everybody knows. And
hey, I have photos.
Napoleon
that are
Complex
dated.
TM.
There it
exactly.
is.
Wicked Weed.
Brewed here first.
And it was far superior. I'm sorry, Wicked Weed.
Sorry, Wicked Weed.
Ours was actually French.
It was.
Oof.
It was a French Saison.
It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pale like theirs was, which made no sense.
Maybe because it wants to be hoppier than it is. Like, it's
Maybe.
Has a complex not being an IPA. But that's really thinking a lot, far too into the whole thing of what a beer might think.
So now that we're all suitably bitter, no
not the pale ale.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh. We love Wicked Weed, though.
There's a lot of bitterness behind this.
No, we do. We really enjoy her.
We just had Oblivion the other night. Which was fantastic.
Delicious. It was so good. It was a great batch of Oblivion. Which was the first, not only sour, but the first craft beer I ever ordered for myself when I first moved down here was Oblivion. We
That's
had
right.
it at the homebrew rally at the Funkatorium. And then I was spoiled forever when it came to craft beer. It's never, nothing's ever been the same.
Mm-mm.
You
know, the first, like, beer that she got was in a super fancy Wicked Weed. I don't even think it was a Tiku. It was like one of their
really
fancy
nice.
Wine glasses.
Yeah.
She was like, oh,
was so
this
good.
Is nice.
It was delicious.
Uppity.
Very.
I know. Well, that's all Jeff's fault for... You gotta build.
See, but that's the thing. It's like, when you go over to someone's house or something, you don't want to be snobby about beer, but you can't help but think, this is not that good. Whereas, you know, a few years ago, I was like, oh, yeah... This Blue Moon, all this is great. Like, this is really exciting stuff. And
the
now,
height of luxury.
You can put an orange in there? That's great. That's
so good.
So
I love fruit. I was having a conversation with my friend Chris at work. And we were talking about something, and he was trying to compare, like, food or something to beer. And, like, He's like, you know, like, when you go home and, like, you reach in your fridge and you like, pull out a Miller. And I'm like, no. Okay, he's like, okay.
I don't know what that is.
And he's
what is
okay,
that?
Okay. So, like, you know when you go in and you, like, pull out, like, a shock top. And I'm like, also, no, Chris. Like, none of that is happening at my house. I don't know.
You know, like when you go to your kegerator and you pour yourself a beer. Oh,
what?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't, all these beers you're telling
so, like,
me.
When you go to your fridge and you pull out a PBR.
That,
oh, we got
I can
you.
Get on board on with PBR.
Yes.
Yeah. But
I
it
mean,
took it
yeah.
took him, like, 3 or 4 examples to finally get to a beer. because that's, you know, he'll go to Sheetz and pick up, you know,
but
the
he
cheap
enjoys good beer, though.
Sometimes.
He does.
He does. But he also, he...
It's okay.
I'm Italian. I talk with my hands, and sometimes it spills the fancy glasses.
Fancy.
The fancy... Wicked Weed, actually. I'm drinking a Wicked Weed goblet. But he'll just go and pick out what's cheapest. He likes your
There's
standard...
There's something wrong with that sometimes.
Sometimes.
Some nights you gotta do it.
That's
You've
it.
Gotta have the beer to have when you've already had several, and your palate is not quite so discerning, but you're not ready to stop drinking.
You just wanted to keep having some more PBRs.
Yeah.
PBR, and... Maybe this is because until very recently, Jeff brought home 6 packs of natties every weekend, and we were, like, overrated.
So
like,
not to discern any natties, but natties became our PBR.
Yeah, so, like, because it was here, so, like, I'm just,
so
let
common.
Me just drink a Buckshot.
There was abundant.
Let
yeah.
me just drink a Southern, and actually a delicious thing children over here. A delicious thing we just discovered is, guys, do half Buckshot, half Southern.
Oh.
It's delicious. It is so good.
I'm all
I thought
for
you were
going to
say
things.
Seagram's wine coolers.
Yes.
And a Buckshot.
mix your Buckshot with the strawberry Arbor Mist.
What? No, I have...
Does she
I
make
remember
Arbor Mist?
One time...
Yeah, they do.
I mixed... And this was, like, when I was 21. Jordan and I were first married. We were out on our own. We were just trying new things. And we had gotten Leinen Kugels. So I really liked that, you know?
Mm.
Sunset
Wheat. And there was a little wine left in the bottom of a glass, and I just poured it in there. And I found out if you mix 50-50 some red wine, at that time it was probably, what, Oak Leaf or... Barefoot
know.
Or something like
yeah.
that, Cabernet.
Barefoot ain't so bad.
It ain't so bad. And so you do 50-50 that and the Leinen Kugels, and it tasted like a blueberry muffin. Awesome.
I remember that. I remember
you
that.
You do?
Yes.
I was like, Jordan, taste this. And he was like, that's something.
It's yes. not good. It's not bad. It's something.
It's something.
Yeah.
We've all been somewhere.
We've all been there. You're right. Yes. It's Barefoot ain't... It's not the worst. It's
hey,
not boxed wine.
Hey, wait, there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with boxed wine.
Absolutely.
Hey.
I second that.
They say that's one of the best ways for wine to be stored because it's vacuum sealed and really dark in the box.
Yeah,
so
it
actually
seen
yeah.
light.
The worst way to seal a wine bottle is with a natural cork.
Mm-hmm. Then synthetic cork, then screw top, then box.
What, because air still
bag.
Gets in
mm-hmm.
the natural
yep.
corks?
Box
yep.
bag,
yeah.
Well, I once drank an entire bag of wine on my own and in a couple gulps because I was playing Slap the Bag at a fraternity party.
What is
and
this
I
game?
And no, you never played? Okay,
no.
so there's a game for
I was homeschooled.
You don't
you have to tell me about all
I don't condone
things.
This because this didn't end well for me.
Last time I played Slap the Bag, I almost got arrested.
Well.
I don't know what game you're talking about.
Slap the bag is when you take the bag out of the box, you hold it over somebody's head, and you slap it. And when you slap the bag, they open the valve,
uh-huh.
and you chug. And when you're ready for them to close it, you have to slap the bag again. Well, if you know me, when I drink, I think I can do anything. And
yes.
when you have an entire fraternity house going, Alyssa, you never slap it closed.
You have
and
superpowers.
I drank the entire bag of wine. I went home. Oh, I went and got pizza because that's what I did. And then I
Why
went home.
You?
I passed out. I woke up. I threw up in the hallway of my sorority house. I went back to sleep. I woke up at 6 in the morning, and I cleaned it all up. Very embarrassed and ashamed of myself, and I can't drink boxed wine anymore.
That's very logical.
Yeah.
Well, if you live here in North Carolina, specifically Greensboro, you're not going to be able to do it anymore, but on the Dan River, that's the best place. So on the Dan River, you rent a little inner tube, and you just loft down the river, and you just...
drink.
What we did last time was we got one specifically for a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So you paid for a person, but you're just going to put a cooler in the inner tube.
Mm.
You just fill it with beer, and we had boxed wine, and we'd just, like, toss it to each other.
Okay. All right. Nice.
And then you get drunk on the river. But
wait,
now,
why can't you do that anymore?
Because people were littering. And people off of the river who lived there.
Be eco-friendly.
Yeah, people, they find beer cans everywhere, so.
People, when you're drinking out in the world, don't be a douche.
Because you ruin it for the rest of us.
Clean up your stuff.
Yeah.
Love the earth. Love your fellow man. Gosh.
What?
But also,
Kernersville, what is that? Yadkin River. That's still open for...
Oh, yes. Oh, she was reminding me... so yesterday, while we were at... This is a terrible segue, I'm sorry. We were at Raleigh Brewing Company, and had a bunch of vendors there. There was a hop farm there, which I don't have the card, but I'll get it in a second. They grow 9 varieties of hops. I can't remember. Hold on. You keep talking, and I'm going to look for the card.
Fuggle, Zeus, Cascade. Those are probably some...
Centennial?
Yeah. Yeah. If they're in North Carolina, those are the ones that they're probably going to end up growing.
So it was Farm Boy Farms.
Farm Boy,
out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And we were talking to them about Raleigh Brewing Company. Rockingham Community College.
Yes.
So I heard that... Rockingham went over there, and they were talking and got some tips because they grow hops at Rockingham Community College.
Yes, we recently just trimmed up those hops at Rockingham Community College. We went along, cut the strings, and we trimmed them up, getting ready for the upcoming growing season. So we are babying them along.
Yeah, it was cool. He was talking about how it's pretty much a one-man operation with him,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he has people come out, so it's pretty much like volunteer. So we were talking to him about going out there and interviewing him, so they get a bunch of volunteers, they cut them down, they pick them. I think he gets a pound?
Pound and a half.
Off of each vine?
Yeah.
I think that's what he said. But
yeah, he says a lot of people like to like make an event out of it and come with a big group of friends and... you know, and help them, I guess, harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's also a maltster, correct?
Oh, we didn't even get into that. We'll have to, is it on there too?
Yes.
He is a maltster.
Boutique maltster.
Blame the maltster.
That'd be cool. But yeah, so we're thinking, in August, I think he said, was about the time he likes to get groups out. About seeing who wanted to come and harvest some hops.
That
would be
hops.
A cool experience.
Yeah, I'm sure he would... pay us in hops or something.
Yeah.
Give us an ounce or something. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying 9 different varieties, but I think
mm-hmm.
you said Cascade.
Cascade,
Fuggle,
Zeus,
Nugget. He kept talking about Nugget.
I think
Nugget
yeah. are like the ones that really grow well.
Yes.
Yeah,
there
he said.
Certain ones.
He said there are 9 that can be grown here, but 4 really flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they can flourish in North Carolina.
Yeah, we're not at the greatest
latitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said our soil never
latitude.
Gets cold enough for them to get dormant, and then to like re-flourish out to kind of build like.
It gets hot here in the summer.
Yeah, but in their winters never get cold enough for them to go fully dormant.
Yeah.
And then once the spring comes in the soil, like in Colorado, he was saying they'll kind of just, like, burst out. And they, what did he say, like, how many ounces per?
Oh, they got so they he gets 1 pound per vine or whatever. They get like 10.
Yeah.
They get a lot more.
I didn't even know they
grew. No, I think he was like 6 or 7.
Maybe not Colorado, but Washington.
Oh,
Oregon,
yeah. Yakima
stuff.
Valley, things like
yeah.
that. Yes.
Maine.
Yeah.
Well, I know that upstate New York used to be the number one place in the U.S. to grow hops before Prohibition.
Oh,
of course, Prohibition kind of ruined the need for hops. And then I think after that, they didn't replant. They just started growing grapes.
Okay. Are
and
hops
so,
used for anything else?
Nope.
Not really.
Just beer.
No.
Just beer. That's it.
Folk medicine.
Okay.
Not yet, until we think of something.
Yeah, look,
no,
I want to think of a different way to use.
They
yeah.
used to they used to pack pillows full of hops because supposedly it was soporific.
Oh, it's for sleeping. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
I
want to
make
like
candles.
Lavender.
What if we make
oh.
like candles out of hops?
That would be risky because you're burning
the leaf,
the thing. So
maybe if you pelletize them,
or got like a hop shop. Maybe.
Oh, you squeeze them, make
like, I know you
a,
can
yeah,
make
like,
hop
like
candy.
The oil.
Extract. Yeah, but like you put the oil, the extract, into
yeah.
the wax.
The oil might be good.
Yeah,
yeah.
like
yeah.
I wouldn't put like leaves
a
yeah, like
in a candle.
Hop.
Yeah.
That sounds very dangerous. I wouldn't do that at all.
Why is she setting my home on fire?
My business wouldn't go anywhere.
No.
Don't worry about it. They'll love it.
They'll love it. It'll be so great.
I know that Hop Union has hop. I think they have hop chapstick.
I've heard of hop chapstick.
As well as hop candies.
I've heard the candies.
Mm-hmm. So, I would love if my house smelled like hops.
Let's make some candles.
Well, we should look into it.
Yeah, we should.
Hop chops are expensive. Like, they drop the oils.
Hop chops?
Yeah, they're expensive.
Oh, they go a long way, though.
That's very true.
I mean,
it's like a syringe, usually.
Could I put it in my humidifier? Because I put essential
sure you
oils
could.
In
does
my...
Does the humidifier get real hot? Because this is a resin. Like, you got to put it in, like, soak the syringe in, like, boiling water
oh.
just to get it, like...
Oh, really? Is
moving.
It like a...
Mm-hmm. It's like a... It's
like
almost
wax.
Like the consistency of tar.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, wow.
All right,
yeah.
So no.
Or, like...
Maybe if we heated it up and diluted it.
I've heard that the companies, the breweries that use... hop extract actually will it'll come in cans, and so what they'll do is they'll take like little piercing, you know, like you get a big can of they used to have tomato juice in this in big cans
yeah.
And then you had the can opener, it would pierce it, so it would just make this little
yeah
little triangle
yeah. So they'll take the can of hop extract.
Okay.
And they will just put a whole bunch of holes in it like that, and then they will just suspend it from a string in their kettle.
Oh.
And then the hot water. Because there's no way you're getting it out of that can. Just because it's like tar. I don't,
It's very viscous.
Very, very, very viscous.
Okay.
And if you heat it up, then it'll come out. But, like, they'll just poke it full of holes, and then they'll put it in there, and then it'll...
Oh, so you do like the bottom and then hang it and it kind of just
yeah.
drips into the beer.
Like, well, like you'd hit, like you'd put a hot bag full of spices or something in a way.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're, with those, you're not shooting for flavor or anything. You're just going for straight IBUs.
Yeah, it's bitterness, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. We saw they had the hop bags at the homebrew shop connected to Raleigh yesterday, right? That you put the hops in.
Oh, yeah. To prevent all the troops, so... It's like a tripod thing, and it's like a net. So you just put your hops in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you just pull it out at the end.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
I've thought about that, but I also have the...
I think they call it a spider.
Is that what it's called?
Or somebody trademarked it. Or somebody trademarked something.
But that only works if you have...
A hop spider.
A kettle that is actually shallow enough. With a kegel...
You can't do
it. It would have to be a 10-gallon batch.
Yeah.
Not those kind of kegels.
Hey-o.
I get them.
That's K-E-G-G-L-E-S.
Or it'd have to be a really deep bag. I guess that's the only way you'd have to get around it.
Yeah, that just seems impractical now.
Yeah, I don't mind all the troop. It's fine.
It's okay. Except when we did a taste of the Empire.
Oh.
And, like, I got the first pull, and I took a sip
There's
and I went...
There's still leaves in it.
I went...
Or just the wort? After...
No, it was from the keg. There was still some...
Do you have a suspension?
No, we got all that. What? Which one are you talking about?
The suit up.
Oh, no. That's right there.
Yeah.
She was talking about the Empire.
Oh, yeah. The Empire. Mm.
But yeah, the first pool was still, like, it's settling. Mm. And there's still little bits in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
The little bits.
The kind of beer you'd send back at a local restaurant.
That's what we serve here.
We're like, it's supposed to be cloudy. It's an IPA.
It's unfiltered.
It's a wheat beer.
I understand what that is.
I'm in the industry.
That is one of the most uppity things you could possibly say. I'm in the industry.
I work for a brewery.
I'm sure sometimes it's hard not to say that, though. Like, when, like, and I really can't say that because I, like, with the work I do, is not. Like,
my fiancé works at a brewery.
At a brewery. But, like, you know, when, for anything, like, someone starts kind of talking to you like you're an idiot about something, like, you get paid to do, it's hard not to just be
of course.
I know this.
Yeah. If anybody listening has any good tips on how to broach this subject in public discourse, just say, hey, you know, just send an email or something to...
craftedforyoupodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because we like
Facebook.
To be polite, and like we were saying, many, if not all of us here, have been servers, bartenders, worked in restaurants, and you know, we like to be as respectful as we can when we go out. So sometimes it's difficult, you know, you feel, we were just talking before about how, you know, we hate to send food back because we're just more polite than that. We don't like to get into all of that.
But then having been on the other side of being servers and things like that, like, you want to be able to tell them the correct information, and you want to be able to fix it if it's not right. And you want to make some money and not be stiffed on the tip.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, so...
It's an interesting when you start...
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Or when you start trying to educate someone that you don't think knows anything, and they do, it can be a little awkward if they come back at you. And
it
like,
comes off a little douchey sometimes.
And I've been on both sides of that, because I will endeavor, as a bartender, as a server, I will endeavor to educate you about something. Please, please tell me if you know what I'm talking about, so I don't have to keep going.
Yeah, that's very true. You don't want to waste your time.
And on the other side of it, just know your stuff. Don't make me come back at you with some knowledge. Drop it.
Because Jordan's really tall. It'll just fall straight to the floor.
But if you want to drop some knowledge in us, please check out our Facebook, our Instagram, and our Twitter. It's Crafted For You, and it's underscores in between each letter.
Yes. Hashtag CFY Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We will...
send us photos of what you're drinking. Like, hashtag us, and we'll regram you.
Yeah, we'll feature you for sure. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, let us know. We are more than happy to have you on. Or if you have any questions or beers that you want us to try and hear what we have to say about them, we do our best to rate all the beers we drink on Untappd.
I'm really bad about it.
Because it's hard sometimes.
You're just enjoying a beer, and then I'll, like, come home next day and be like, shit, I didn't rate that beer.
So we're not really drinking at 9 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. Those are our beers from the last couple nights. we're saving some time.
Not always drinking.
Not always.
At 9 in the morning.
There could be some days. Wednesdays
breakfast
are hard.
Starts.
Yes.
Exactly. Gotta get, what is it, KBS?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Some donut skillet stout with your Vortex donuts.
Vortex donuts. But yeah. Rate and subscribe on...
Please subscribe.
Please
iTunes. Tunes.
Yes, on... Did you say iTunes Tunes?
iTunes.
Oh, okay.
I thought I heard iTunes.
Okay.
iTunes.
iTunes. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher.
And I personally use Podcast Addict. That's a really good one if you have Android phones.
That's addict, like the upper room in your house, or
like
you're addicted to something,
like a junkie. Okay,
like
you're a junkie.
Gotcha. B, you know, if we're addicted.
You're addicted to podcasts or beer.
Fine. Yeah, don't. If you're addicted to beer, seek help. But
and you can rate our. You can.
I
rate
care
beers.
About our listeners.
Oh, wait,
yes,
wait.
We care.
Oh, you rate them afterwards. I was gonna. Hey, let's just rate the beers that we've had.
We'll rate them.
Yeah, these will go online tonight.
We'll do it. But yeah, and if you're, you know, if you're on iTunes, we really appreciate if you would rate. It really helps us. It helps get the word out to other people searching for related topic podcasts. It puts us higher on the list.
And then we'll have a bigger budget, and we can do really cool things, like go to different breweries.
Yeah, travel a little bit, get better beers.
Yeah.
These things are expensive, guys. If you want to donate, you want to come on, bring your favorite beer, we'll drink it together. But besides that, do we have any events coming up? No.
Not that I can think of.
Not anything right now. But when we do, we'll post on Facebook.
Drink a lot of NC beer this month, because it is NC beer month.
Yes.
Please, support your local breweries.
Always, always. So, I think
there's always
everything.
Events going on, especially during this month in North Carolina, so check them out.
I think
NC Brewers Guild probably has them.
Every brewery has guest taps, for
the
most part.
Foothills
that's
is doing a really cool thing where they're going to a few different smaller breweries and switching kegs and featuring breweries that don't distribute so that more people can try some newer up-and-coming breweries, which is really cool. So if you're in the area, definitely stop by Foothills or any of your local breweries.
Yeah.
And I think that's everything.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.